and the parables. And this morning we're going to be looking at the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to be looking at verses 31 through 33. And as I mentioned last week, we have begun a new sermon series on the parables of the kingdom. And so we're going to be taking time over the summer to explore all the ways that Jesus taught about his kingdom, all the ways that he communicated to us himself, his kingdom, what it's going to look like in through the use of parables. And so this morning, we're going to be taking that up in Matthew 13 again. As always, this is God's good, his holy word. It stands over us. It's for our good. It's for our benefit. Therefore, let us give our attention to it. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it is the smallest of seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. This is God's word. Let me pray and ask God to bless our time this morning. Jesus, we have no idea what these words mean unless you show them to us, unless you reveal them to us. We won't take them to heart. We won't believe them. We will stop our ears. We will harden our hearts. And yet, Lord, you spoke in parables to teach us about your kingdom, to teach us about yourself, to teach us about all that you're doing. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us this morning. God, that you would teach us, that you would bless us, you would encourage our hearts. Lord, that you would strengthen us for the good work of the kingdom. We ask, Lord, that you would be pleased to meet us, to speak to us, to use a man to do that. We ask, Lord, that you would work. We ask that you would change. We ask that you would enlighten our hearts, that we might see you, that we might see your kingdom. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I have up here some mustard seed. And don't worry, it's not a cooking show. This place would burn down quickly with me being the cook. But I wanted you to have in your minds what Jesus, you can take one, John, and pass it around. Have in your mind what Jesus meant when he tells his parable. Here you go, Cynthia. They're really small, so I just want you to see and touch. Don't eat it. What Jesus is talking about. So look at it. Pass it around. Don't worry if you lose it, Judah. It's so small. And you think about, as you get this little mustard seed, I want you to think about why in the world would Jesus use this little thing to talk about his kingdom? Why in the world does Jesus say the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is like a mustard seed? Or it's like yeast. You think about that. You think about the way he came announcing his kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And here in this parable, he says, it's like this mustard seed. And you and probably the people of his day were probably wondering, if the kingdom of God or the kingdom were at hand, why is it so small? They undoubtedly had such high expectations for the kingdom. They were probably thinking, finally, the king is here. Finally, we will be delivered from Roman authority and Roman rule. Finally, there's going to be no more suffering and no more death. There's going to be no more pain and no more sorrow. Finally, the king is here, and finally, Jesus is going to deal with oppression and injustice in this world. Finally, the kingdom of God is at hand. And then Jesus tells this parable. And he tells this parable to shape your and my and their expectations. And he says that the kingdom is like a mustard seed or like leaven. What a strange way of talking about the kingdom. What a strange way of showing us what the kingdom is like. And as we consider this passage this morning, I just really want us to see these three things. It will be very brief. But I want us to see that for us, first, that the kingdom seems oftentimes small and insignificant and not worth much. I want us to see that it is actually working and growing. And then finally, that the kingdom will come. So the kingdom seems small and unimpressive and not worth much, insignificant. It's working and growing. And finally, that the kingdom will come. So there's a line from Bruce Springsteen that I struggle with whether or not I should say it in this parable, because the song itself is horrible. But I think he captures what this parable is about. And he says, from small things, mama, big things one day come. From small things, mama, big things one day come. Maybe a better way of putting it is much like the Chinese proverb that says, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step. And that is pretty much the basic and simple explanation of this parable. So that God uses these small things, these little things, to illustrate the kingdom of heaven. And it's to get us to draw our attention to it, to see that by our human standpoint, this seems like such a small thing that's not doing anything. That from a human standpoint, this kingdom doesn't seem like it's much, Jesus. And so that mustard seed that's going around the room, you've seen it. It's so easy to lose. It's so small. Again, why in the world would Jesus say his kingdom is like a mustard seed? That's not a good selling point, by the way. Why in the world would Jesus say it's like this little thing, or it's like yeast? And I know that for some of us, sometimes in the Christian life, we hit these walls where we wonder, Is this really all there is? Is there not more to the Christian life than what I'm currently experiencing? The day in, day out routine, mundane, following after God, trusting God, seeking God. Or are there times where you wonder, is this how far I've come as a Christian as you mourn over your sin? Is this how far I've grown? Is Jesus doing anything? Is life as I currently experience it really the Christian life? And it's in these moments that you and I think wrestle with whether or not the kingdom of God really has come. Has it really taken root in our lives? Has it really changed anything? Is there really anything that God is doing with me? Is there really anything that God is doing with this church? Is there really anything that God is working for good? and you look at yourself, and if you look out at the world, it seems that it's pretty much the same. Is there no end to injustice? Is there no end to violence? Is there no end to oppression? Is there no end to the number of scandals and things that have happened in our public eye? God, is your kingdom really doing anything? Is there no end to the violence in this city and in my community and in this nation, in this world? Is there no end to the suffering? Jesus, are you really doing anything? Are you really doing anything? Does the kingdom of heaven really change anything? And I know you wrestle with that. I know we wrestle with that as God's people. But I want you to remind you, and Jesus wants to remind you, that he is the God of small beginnings. That he is the God who formed us by a mere word, by speaking from dust. That he is the God of small beginnings. That the most that you can do with your voice is make your phone respond to you. Hey, Siri. And our great God formed us, male and female, after his image, by a word from dust. When we fell into sin, God's great plan of saving us was not a king who came conquering, a king who came in power in the ways that we would like or expect. But what did God send? A baby. A child. How weak and foolish of God to send a child. And he's showing you, no, I'm not weak and I'm not foolish. But I'm going to show you that my kingdom comes and begins from small beginnings. From small things, from things you think insignificant. From things you think that don't matter. And we see our Lord Jesus, he comes, he takes on flesh, he moves into our neighborhood, he becomes poor, he eats with us, he lives with us, he underwent the miseries of this life, he suffered, he was betrayed, he was rejected, he died. And for what? For our good, for our salvation. In these small things, our great God, our great Savior, brought life to you and me, joy to you and me, hope to you and me, peace to you and me. And small, insignificant things that our great God brings salvation to the nations. That he is a God who is the God of small beginnings. One commentator, in wrestling with what the kingdom might be or what it might seem like for those who heard Jesus tell this parable, as those who are under Roman authority, writes this. He says that for 300 years, the Roman Empire threatened the church at every turn. And far too often, the threats led to deprivation and violence. The church had no funds, had no media outlets, it had no training centers and many foes, and yet it spread without ceasing. After 300 years, historians estimate that 5 to 8 million Christians ranged through every corner of the empire. Today, the Christian faith is more widespread than any religion, any faith, any ideology. And in virtually every nation on earth, Christ is worshipped each day, each week. So the kingdom that had an insignificant beginning is coming to a great climax. Its final size will amaze us. And it's to say to you and to me as we wrap up this first point, is to not despise the day of small beginnings. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. The man has planted the mustard seed. The woman has worked the yeast through the dough, in the dough. God has sown by his Spirit Jesus and his kingdom into your and my heart. And our God is a God of small beginnings. But I also want you to see that even though this thing is small, like a mustard seed or like yeast, that it is actually working and growing. I know that's hard to believe. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And Jesus tells us, though it is the smallest of seeds, yet when it grows, becomes one of the largest. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. That what Jesus is saying and assuming is that, no, it is working. It is changing things. It is growing. It is having an influence on things. And you might ask, how is it growing? How in the world is it growing? And it's growing in the fact that the kingdom spreads itself, not only to you as individuals, but to this world. That corporately, God is building his kingdom. And Jesus shows us that the influence of the kingdom of God on an individual level as well as a cosmic level, that the kingdom of God is going to touch everything. It's going to leave no stone unturned. It's just as we sing so often during the Christmas season, that Jesus comes to make his blessings flow as far as the curse is found. That the kingdom is working. It is growing. And how do I know that? Because it begins with Jesus and the gospel. And the good news of God's reclaiming of sinners to himself. Sinners like you and me to himself. It begins in the fact that you are here this morning worshiping God because you know Jesus has been good to you. It begins with the fact that you recognize your sin and you turn to Christ, your Savior, your Lord, and know that you have forgiveness from your sins. That you do not face God's wrath because Jesus took it upon himself on your behalf and on my behalf. It begins by saying that if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. You are not under the dominion of sin. You can actually say yes to the things of God. Yes to righteousness. Yes to goodness. You and I can actually choose good over evil. But it doesn't end there. The kingdom of God spreads to the way we think, and live, and act. But it also goes with us as we express and proclaim the love of Jesus to our neighbors. In whatever facet of life that God has called us, where he's called us to be, to serve, to love, to live, the kingdom of God is at work there. It is working and growing in ways that you and I don't often know or see. And Jesus wants us to lift up our heads, to consider this parable, to take heart again that the kingdom is working and growing. Because if you look around this room, only Jesus could get these people in this room. Only God could get us in this room and help us to learn to love one another, to be intentional towards one another, to serve one another, to share with one another, to fellowship with one another, to bless one another. And the kingdom, in a lot of ways, it assumes that you are living in the way that God has called you to live. That it assumes that you're going about your lives in a way that God has called you. The kingdom is growing. You are bearers of Jesus and the kingdom of God in your relationships, in your homes, in your workplaces, in this world. And so as I say the kingdom is working and growing, I'm assuming that you are a gracious friend. I'm assuming that you are a kind husband. I'm assuming that you will tell your loved ones, your friends, your family, the hard truths in a gracious way, the things they need to hear. I'm assuming that you are a boss who doesn't overwork your staff and run them ragged. I'm assuming that you are one who loves your neighbor as yourself. And if that is the case, then you can see that the kingdom of God is working. And it's to say to us and of us that for all the millions of ways that God is working in our lives and showing us that the kingdom of God is working and growing, you and I perceive probably only three of those things. We miss what God is doing. And God is saying, no, my kingdom is working. My kingdom is growing. And even in your trials and suffering, the kingdom is still working. It's still growing. He is making us a people who serve, who are serving in our careers, in our fields, in our workplaces, in our homes, in love, in grace, in truth. He is making us people who show forth the kingdom. And I want you to think about your life and to think about your story. And then I can think about my life and my story as well. And when you wonder about that question, how do I know that the kingdom is working? How do I know that the kingdom of God is growing? Just consider your life. Just consider your past. Consider what God has brought you from. And you would know for a fact that you would not be better without the kingdom of God. I would not be better without Jesus in the kingdom of God. That God is working. God is growing. God will complete the good work that he began in us. The kingdom of heaven is like the yeast and like the leaven that the woman took and hid in flour till it worked through all the dough. And I did not have the privilege of having biology in ninth grade, so there are some gaps. I still don't know how yeast works to this day, is what I'm basically saying. Maybe Dominic can show me. Help me out, Dominic. How does yeast work? No. But God is saying that that's how his kingdom works. That it is moving through the dough. That it is growing. That mustard seed is growing. That it will grow to be a great tree. A great tree that all the birds of the air will find rest in. That they will nest. That's a picture of the kingdom of God growing and it being a blessing to the world. And it works in ways that we don't understand, that we don't perceive, that we don't hear, that we don't recognize, that we don't expect. But God is saying it is working. It is growing. Maybe a way of thinking about how it is growing and working is like your heartbeat. I mean, right now, we don't control our heartbeat, right? And yet it's been pumping blood this whole service, hopefully. Somebody like passed out in the back like, no, I'm dying. But it's working. And we don't understand how it's working. But it's working. And God is saying his kingdom is working. The kingdom is advancing. That God is making this world a more just place. That he is making this world a more beautiful place. He is making this world a place that if we were not there, what hope would there be? And he gives hope. And he gives life, and he uses us, his people, his church, to build his kingdom. And his kingdom has taken roots in us. There's an article that one of my former co-workers as a college minister wrote When talking about the Christian life and why we often don't see the ways that God is working, or we miss how God is bringing his kingdom. He wrote this paper to kind of talk about what he would see on the college campus. I think it's actually true of our society and culture as a whole. But every year, a new group of students would come in, and they would always say, we're going to, as Christians, make this big splash on campus. We're going to make, you know, Jesus known. We're going to do all these great things for Jesus. We're going to do all these great things for God. And what he would say is that after a while, after all the fanfare, after all the excitement, all the, you know, smoke, mirrors, you know, fog, lights, excitement, after all that died down, that was kind of the end of it. And what he would try to encourage his students to do is actually learn that the kingdom of God really, and is actually at work in the mundane, in the ordinary moments of our lives. I think that's true of us, that we think of the kingdom of God as it's always mountaintop experiences. It's always dramatic. It's always explosive. It's always bright lights. And especially in a Christian subculture like America, you want flashy lights. You want excitement. You want entertainment. And this minister would say, no, actually, it's in the ordinary routine things of life that God really is at work. I'm going to read a little bit of his article, but I wanted you to think about what he is saying. That the church is where people ought to meet people where they are, in the business at hand, in the ordinary and the mundane duties and experiences that make up the larger portions of our lives. Jesus said that the whole sum of Christian living was loving God and loving your neighbor. Did he mean for us to work that out in an arena or in our minute-by-minute ordinary lives? The more difficult and yet truest and most meaningful spirituality is that which deals with Jesus in everything. The prophet Micah charges the people of God with spiritual falsehood because they are always making noise in the temple and yet cheat in business. Their spirituality has nothing to do with life. The church has a ministry of presence, being present in people's lives, helping them see the graces of the gospel in all that they are and do, being there when God works. What shape does a ministry of presence take? We're to help people break out of poverty. We're to help a man love his wife and vice versa when he or she is unlovable. We're to help a divorced woman take Christ as her husband and learn to deal with her hurt and loneliness. We're to help her children with their anger and see the cross transform it to love. We're to help a man or woman who feels lost in his or her work deal with the providence of God. We're to help an exhausted mom glory in the thousand tasks God has called her to. We're to help a man trapped in a destructive sin find the cross and its healing power. We're to help those who feel the futility of living find significance in the kingdom of God. We're to help frantically busy people learn to pray. We're to help the man or woman we work or live with see the joy and hope of the gospel and deal with their disdain for God and his people. We're to help people share griefs and joys. We're to feed people from the word of God. We're to teach them to open their lives to others. In other words, we help them love God and love people in the regular stuff of life. And this ministry of presence, this kingdom of God, I would say, it does not sail well. It's a little hard to measure. We're not even sure what it looks like ourselves. It requires dogged obedience and robust prayer. But this is what it means to know God. When we think about evangelism and discipleship, we should think about meeting people where they are, where they live, in the business at hand. And there we will find great struggles and messes, and there we will see the transforming graces of Christ. And many Christians will never notice or recognize this as ministry because it makes so little noise. So what? God brings extraordinary things out of the ordinary. I think he pretty much nailed us. He captured where we are. The problem is that oftentimes you and I don't see that in the ordinary, mundane routine, daily routines of our lives, that the kingdom of God is actually at work. That God is working. That God is growing. The kingdom is working. The kingdom is growing. And Jesus, as we wrap up this second point, when he's asked by the Pharisees in Luke 17, when the kingdom would come, he answered them, the kingdom is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there, for behold, the kingdom is in the midst of you. The kingdom is working and growing. Jesus shows us this in this parable. And then lastly, very briefly, the kingdom will come. That in one sense, the kingdom has already come, but there's still more to the kingdom that awaits us. The kingdom will come. Jesus says that this mustard seed, when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch on its branches. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. And you see it in his words, the certainty of his kingdom, having influence and permanence in this world. And it's also to say to us that you or I, we are not going to bring the kingdom, but Jesus actually is. That for all of our labors and all of our serving and all of our suffering for the sake of the gospel and Jesus, that our Lord is ultimately the one who's going to bring his kingdom in. That he who began that good work will finish it. But it's also to say, nothing is going to stop the kingdom of God. It is going to grow. It is going to work itself through all the dough. And this kingdom will come. And I want to close just with these words from a commentator who talks about the lesson of this parable. He says that Jesus knew the disciples' doubts just as he knows ours. He says, when my work seems pitifully small or sorely oppressed, do not be perplexed. Do not despair. The kingdom has a small beginning, but it will grow and transform all things. And the principle of small beginnings is the way of this world. Whether corporations or nations, whether causes or movements, even great things, start small. And the kingdom of God is no different. It starts small and grows incrementally from within. So let us be patient while the kingdom grows. That's God's word to us in these parables, and we take heart that the kingdom seems small, insignificant, and unimpressive, but it is working and it is growing, and the kingdom will come. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this parable, for your word. We ask God that you would help us. We ask God that you would bless us. We ask God that you would help us to see the many ways that you are growing your kingdom. Lord, make us bearers of your kingdom. Help us to see the things that you have called us to. Help us to serve you, to love you, Jesus, to be grateful, to be thankful. And Lord, continue to change us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we have our time and go to